Welcome everybody to Cave Talk, the ultimate hockey fan caves podcast, where hockey is just the starting point and who knows where it'll take us. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We do not take that for granted. If you haven't yet, go check out our first podcast where I discuss and share a few tips on how to get broken hockey sticks and kind of Ken Shaw's tips and tricks to getting more sticks for your own hockey stick creations. I'd like to say thank you to our sponsor for tonight's podcast. That is Hockey Wraparound. If you guys haven't seen this product, it's revolutionary for any type of training, road hockey, and we use it here at the Cave. I don't use a road hockey stick anymore. I actually use my $300 true hockey stick for road hockey because I use a wraparound to protect it. Go check them out at hockeywraparound.com and you guys will not regret it, and it'll save you a bunch of money on broken sticks and thin banana blades. And yeah, we highly advocate it for here, and it is a Cave-approved product. So what we're going to be talking about today is, and who we'll be talking with today, is none other than Ken Shaw. Ken Shaw is the guy who built the ultimate hockey fan cave. He is the guy who put the years of time before I even came around and built this place, built 100 plus creations with hockey sticks in them. And everything has a story, and Ken loves a good story. So I'm going to be asking some of these questions that I've heard before, and a few he probably hasn't. Hopefully you guys will get some insight on to how much dedication and work and hockey passion was really spent on the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave. So without further ado, let's just jump into that, and make sure you guys go check us out on all of our platforms on YouTube if you want to see if you want to see a vlog, some of the shenanigans we do here on the tiles out front, live streams, all those type of things. We are on YouTube, Instagram, and all the other platforms. So let's just jump right into interviewing the man, the myth, the legend. Don't tell him I said that. Ken Shaw, and let's see how the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave came to be.
This is awkward.
Welcome everybody to the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave podcast, Cave Talk. I have none other than the man, the myth, and the legend, Ken Shaw, who built the place. He allows me to be here as much as I am, showcase his crazy creations, and we've been on a hell of a ride, to say the least, since we started this kind of partnership between Ken and I. Ken, thanks for being here.
I'm always here.
And so am I.
It's in my backyard. I'm always here.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about, this segment is going to be about how the cave came to be. I've heard all the stories. There's a lot of stories about this place, how you created it. All the creations have a story. And we just want to give some of our listeners a little more insight to, you know, the legacy that is the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave, and what you've literally, physically, and figuratively built here. So maybe just start from the beginning on how did the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave come to be?
Well, it never was actually a thought when we did it years ago. Basically what happened was my young son Landon was in hockey, and I started out building a boom box for him to take inside the dress room so his teammates could listen to, and we wheeled that in. And after that I built a couple chairs out of hockey sticks and round deck chairs, and then a coffee table. And it got to be a hobby, and I really enjoyed doing this, so I started building more creations, and we would bring them down to the street as we played street hockey, and I started building more, and then I put a few inside the front room of our house, and then my wife said, this isn't happening. So basically, I was storing it in the garage all the time. So where am I going to put these things? I bring them out in the summertime and storm when it got rainy out. So a few years before, my daughter, me and my father-in-law built Tiana a playhouse, and it was an 8x10, 8x12 little room.
Right.
And that's where she had all her little toys, as little girls do. But as she grew out of it, I thought, I'm gonna capitalize.
It was like wasted space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, maybe I could put some of these hockey stick furniture in there. And so as soon as she moved out, I immediately moved in.
That's smart.
And so I put, you know, some tables in there and chairs, and I had a 21-inch TV, and I had a few friends over. Next thing you know, there was 11 of us in there watching a hockey game one night.
That must have been a tight squeeze, 11.
It was comical. It was a lot of fun. It was truly unique. We're all crammed in this little tiny room, watching a game, drinking beer in a hockey environment. And my wife, Tina, poked her head through the door and said, I think you need to do something bigger. And the story began.
And was there like a delay from that point on, or was it like you started the next day, or was it, you know, you got to think about it, plan it, or what was the next step after you kind of, you know, had a family approval of the go-ahead, you got the nod?
Well, After I got the nod, I cribbed up some a pad next to this small little playhouse, and it wasn't that big, but I poured it, got it poured, and then I thought, this isn't big enough for all the stuff I have, so I mentioned this to friend of mine, Frank, who owns an excavating company, and I went to work, and unbeknownst to me, he came over that day and dug up my whole backyard to make
the footing. So you literally came home to your backyard, dug up, and you're starting this place.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. It was a pile of muck as high as the roof.
What was going through your head at that point when you walked in? Was it like panic that, like, holy crap, we're doing this? Or was it like, you're pumped?
No, my father-in-law called me and said, be prepared. Your backyard is a logistic bona fide bomb went off. And I came home from work and I looked at Frank and I said, what the hell are you doing?
What did Frank say?
Well, we got to put the footing in. I said, exactly. Not a swimming pool, but a footing. It was massive dirt. It was like laurel bushes were down. The whole backyard was... There's pictures on the internet. It was crazy. So it began, and we had to get this straightened out because it was a muck show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that one of the biggest challenges right off the bat? Was
to form up the footing.
Like if I'm looking at any kind of, you know, construction type of building something, I always think kind of like the platform, the foundation is going to be, you know, the key part. It's the probably, and my lack of experience, maybe the most challenging part. Was that this, like, what challenges did you run into when you started building the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave that were unsuspected, that were hidden? What type of challenges were there?
Well, as we dug up for the footing, we realized we're on Vancouver Island, so there's bedrock here. You can't blast it. It's actually a rock.
Oh.
So we had to form the foundation, the plywood around this, the shape of the rock, and pour it accordingly. And it was a tight squeeze. We had to reach our hands down and knock off the Burke clamps and the wedges and the snap ties. It was in the rainy season. It was cold. We're in rain gear. It was mucky out. Yeah.
Well, and just to clarify for anyone who's listening, like, that this wasn't Ken's full-time job. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't 40 hours a week type thing. It was on weekends, after work. It was pick and choose when you had the time. Yep. And chipped away at it. So just wanted to clarify that it wasn't, you know, we're going to get a company out here and do the whole thing and that's done in a weekend. This is why it took 2 to 3 years, right, to build. Was just chipping away at it.
Yeah, and it made you shop around for stuff. Like, I tapped out a few friends that owed me favors, and so they like Frank did the excavating for next to nothing, and then we found the best prices on 2x6s and beams and screws, and we just took our time and shopped, and we had that luxury because it wasn't, you know, we got to get it done now. Let's pull this off in a month. We took our time, and everything is precision. Everything's square, insulated properly, wired properly. We just did it, took our time, and made it just right.
A quality job.
Yeah. Overkill, actually.
Did you ever get to a point when you're building the cave where you're like, it's not going to get finished? Like, we're not going to do this. So is there like any like big, not just hurdles, but was there any point in your mind, or was it from day one, this is getting done?
No, there was not a chance. We knew we were going to do it. It was coming home from work, and it gave you energy. You got excited. Yeah, when I was out of town working, I was showing people up at the camp job there what we were doing, and they were getting excited, and that was keeping me going to come back home and just come up with different ideas. The one thing I do regret, two things, is I wish it was bigger.
Right.
And I wish I did it 10 15 years earlier.
Right.
That's the one regret.
But you did do it, though.
Yeah.
And you did it now and not 5 years from now. And look where we are. We're sitting in your coach's corner in the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave.
A friend of mine had it in his kitchen. He was going to throw it out. We bought it off him for $100.
So Ken's talking about the Coach's Corner booth. If you haven't seen it, it is an actual booth.
Leather booth.
And that's what we kind of sit in for when we play cards or live streams, as well as doing the podcast here. For those who don't know Ken, like I do, or tuned into our live stream, Ken loves a good story. Ken is a great storyteller, and he's got a lot of amazing stories. So if you do come to the cave, that is one awesome tidbit that you'll get, is some of the, you know, raw stories about some of the creations, some of the memorabilia. We try not to go into too much detail because you've got a lot of all the everything in here has a story. So I wanted to ask you, tell us your favorite story about building the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave. Something like you built, a creation, what was your most memorable story of, you know, someone turned up with this piece of, you know, gear or memorabilia? What would be your favorite story about building the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave if you had to pick one? And I know this is tough because I know most of the stories. This is why I wanted to ask him.
I can't give a favorite story, but I can give you interesting stories. For instance, the shuffleboard bar. It's an actual shuffleboard table, and I found it in Esquimalt, where close by where we live, and me and Landon went in a pickup truck. Now Landon's like, what, 12 at the time, 13, and this is a 400-pound shuffleboard table. The guys helped me load it on, and these guys I bought it off of, bring it home here, and me and Landon, my neighbor Mike, had to haul it off. And you know, not the strongest two guys I'm dealing with here. And we hauled it off and dragged it into my workshop. Now we have to frame up for this bar to be held up because it's so heavy. So my father-in-law, Hank, comes over. We frame it all, 2x4s, made it too high.
Yeah,
we made the bar high. We thought it was going to be, let's make the bar high. And then we sat there, looked at him. And I feel like I'm sitting at a judge's. Comes down. So I went to bed that night. And went, we got to tear this apart. So we took it apart, cut it down. Now you've got Landon as a 14-year-old, me and Hank as 75, hauling this 400-pound shuffleboard table from the front of the house down the side on a dolly, bringing it over the handrail and lifting it down from outside the bay doors, lifting it down 5-6 feet, and then lifting it on top of there.
Well, you got the height right. I'm glad you changed it and you did it right, because you've hit the nail on the head with it. And it's a 12-foot shuffleboard. And if you guys ever get a shuffleboard out there, like Ken had, by used or, you know, for free or whatever it may be, make sure you keep it. These things are great for spills, food, all that type of stuff. They're very durable stuff. So
it's all laminated. I got it for $300, and it's the best. One of the best things in here. And then after that, then came the creations of the laying in bed thinking, what can we do with hockey helmets? And, you know, as people do with football helmets, you have chip bowls.
Chip bowls, yeah.
And I think they make phones out of them too. And I thought, there's got to be something more you can make out of these. And I've seen lamps with helmets. And then I thought, well, why not? You know, lamps,
the lights.
Lights above the bar.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome, awesome focal point, eh?
Like, yeah, it's one of the, I know I've talked about this a few times on live streams. It was one of the first things that I caught my eyes of, like, oh, that is cool.
When I first came in and took,
and like, there's a lot to take in. There's so many creations. There's sticks everywhere. There's memorabilia everywhere. And it takes a long time to take all the information in. But that was one of the first things that you just gravitated towards. A, because it's over top of a 12-foot bar. Once again, another main focal point, but. And they just look good in the lighting that they have. It's just the red looks great.
And you helped paint underneath the bar.
Yep, that was my contribution. I wasn't around for these, you know, the 400-pound shuffleboard. I was around for painting the back of the bar that no one sees, that's completely covered by creations and, like, storage.
Beer fridges.
Yeah, and I think I missed a few spots anyways.
I went down there. No, you didn't.
I didn't, yeah. No. I did it. You talked about a little bit about regret about not doing it earlier, and you know, maybe something you would change is starting this a little bit earlier. Maybe that's the advice to people listening, is don't wait too long to do these dream projects. Time pat goes too fast. But I wanted to ask you, if you were to redo one creation, what would it be and what would you change?
Redo one creation. I'd make the building bigger. Did we call that a creation?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Got to be a creation.
That. If I had to redo something.
There's a lot of creations going through Ken's head. Over 100 plus creations with hockey sticks, and Lannan just hobbled in on one of the crutches that he's made out of hockey sticks. It's a tough question, because this is why I wanted to ask you these, because I knew these would be tough for you, because you are so particular when you make these that you almost make them to spec, and then if they're not right, you will redo it again. So I was wondering if there was one that stuck out in your head, like the bar, if you had left the bar too high, would that have been redone?
Yeah.
So what is there out there that, you know, if you had to redo it, what would it be?
There's absolutely nothing. Everything's the way I want it. I would. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I tried to make a Christmas tree out of hockey stick blades because I got so many blades in there. Yeah, that's a swing and a miss. I'm still going to try to figure that out somehow. I'm looking
There's something there.
There is something. You got to do something with blades. Actually, that's a good thing. Anybody out there can... I got all these blades from all the hockey stick shafts that I've used. They're sitting out the back of the cave, and I'm trying to think of something really unique to make out of them. I mean, I'm trying to think. The only thing I can think of is a Christmas tree, but maybe somebody knows.
What is the ultimate creation you'd love to create? Your dream creation? I know we've talked about a few things that if you had, you know, you'd put the ceiling in sticks or whatever it may be. What would there be something that if you had the materials, you had a full like carte blanche check to get the materials to make, what would it be?
A whole wall of sticks.
Like extend the cave.
I told him that, yeah.
Yeah, extend the cave would be one.
But yeah, if I had more room, then I could make more chairs. I like making chairs. And that way you could all sit around comfortable and have a whole gathering and discuss the game.
If people are out there, they're probably... I'm asking questions that I hope that people out there listening that would want to ask you, the like expert on building hockey stick creations. We learned that how it started about, you know, kind of a family decision. You had the space and you took it to the next level. But is wood or composite easier to build with, work with?
Wood are easier.
Wood sticks, sorry.
Yeah, wood sticks are easier to work with because you can cut them easier. You can countersink holes. You don't have to put insert it in them to join them. And the thing about wood stick, you have to keep them inside, actually. But composite, you can throw them outside. They're good in the weather. They won't rust. They won't rot. And they're durable as hell. I mean, look at this floor. This floor is... 1,733
at least now. You added a few more up in the Hawk's Nest when we moved the bar.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
It's at least 1,733 when I made you get down there and count for a contest.
I tried. Yeah. We're close, and we don't know what's underneath the coach's corner here.
Yeah.
So we're not cheating. This whole floor is covered in hockey stick, and they're all glued down one by one.
People out there are probably thinking, or a question they may have, and you talked a little bit about why it took so long, pick away at it, got deals. We get to ask this a lot on live stream, and you're pretty transparent about it, but what did from, you know, let's say when you first started to when we started showcasing online, how much did it cost from like start to like all fully created? The cave's never done, but what was the cost that you put into it and... You know, not including labor because you
not
loved
including
it. But
labor.
Like, how much would you say it cost to build the cave?
Under 20 grand.
Under 20 grand.
Because it's me, my father-in-law, my son, yourself, friends came over.
Well, that back of the bar doesn't paint itself, Ken.
That's right. But people were donating paint. Once the war got out there, people started donating paint. And you need a bucket of screws for the metal siding. They had the proper screws for that. People like, I've got this laying around, you need it, you got a window, like, you know, these Pella windows aren't cheap, so a friend of mine said, Here you go.
And I touched on this in the last podcast about how to get broken hockey sticks, and it kind of resonates through this place. It's kind of about building the relationships and telling people your story. And people want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of your story, a good story. You know, you're doing something good with the hockey sticks, and, you know, that's people helping out with materials is helps you. And, yeah, you know, it's a nice gesture by them.
Well, they, you know, they came over and they saw what we were doing. They helped. Some gave help pour the concrete, some donated material, and so it was about 60 to 70 people. Like, was it your mother-in-law that made the cushions for
yeah.
the lovesick?
Yeah.
So everybody that helps out gets their name on this 2-foot-tall replica cup, and we had a big party for them and supplied the burgers and the kegs of beer. It was like, thank you for helping me do this.
I want to, every time I have you on, because we're going to have you on every now and then for the podcast.
You are?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Depends how this one does, Ken. I don't know.
I'll have to sign a contract now.
Like, segment, you know, Ken's top tips. Give us one hockey stick creation tip that you'd give for people out there.
If you're working with wood sticks, countersink the holes first before you screw them together. Use PL 3X adhesive for doing a lot of your work. For composite sticks, I recommend using self-tapping screws. You don't have to pre-drill the hole. It just penetrates right through the composite stick into whatever you're making.
And that's Ken's top tips for sponsored by Hockey Wraparound.
Hockey Wraparound.
Okay, we'll just end this with a kind of a statement, maybe a question. And this is what I want to have this going throughout every podcast. Tell me something I don't know about the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave.
What don't you know? That's a good question.
Landon's sitting here too. So Landon, if there's something I don't know, a story, creation, I don't know, like...
Well, we have a fan system in here that if it gets too many people, we switch it on so it circulates the air. You didn't know that, did you?
Is it that one there?
No.
Oh, I did not know that.
There you go.
I did not know you had that air circulation.
Yeah, because
in
it would become dead air.
That's like an airplane. And like
yeah, so you have to have a vent system. Yeah, we have that here.
Is there anything you wanted to say to anybody, everybody out there listening to Cave Nation? Anything you want to say?
Oh, about the composite sticks?
About anything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ken's, you know.
Let me just put this out
go
there.
Go ahead, Ken.
And yeah, this is Jordy's fault here. He came in here one time and he says, do you realize there's over how many thousands?
I think it was over 2 million, I think, is the number. I could be wrong. I think it was 2 million composite sticks are broken every year. And if there's a few programs out there to help recycle them, but it's not an everyday thing. So there's still lots of broken hockey sticks ending up in the landfill. And I think it's over 2 million. I could be wrong, but that's the stat I told Ken.
It's a great segue, though.
Yeah, great segue.
So if you throw a composite stick into the landfill and you go there 100 years from now, it doesn't rust, it doesn't rot, it doesn't decompose, it's still there. So what we did was keep these sticks out of the landfill, make a furniture out of them, recycle them, refurbish them. So in a nutshell, and this is my tagline, this is trademarked people out there in podcast land, we basically gave planet Earth an assist.
And just so everybody knows, Ken always does the hand motion. He's doing it right now. He's doing like a wrist shot hand motion with that saying. It's a great saying, and it does embody what the cave is. And I just heard it all the time. That's why I give him gripe about it. He likes to make fun of me with it. Ken, thanks for being on your podcast.
Thanks for having me. And you don't have a key to this place?
Not yet.
Gotta earn it.
Yeah, gotta earn it.
The first million.
First million, yeah. So, everybody, thank you guys for tuning in. This has been Cave Talk with Ken Shaw, the creator of the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave, and everything else, all the 100-plus creations. Today's podcast was sponsored by Hockey Wraparound. Go train anywhere. It protects your stick, and it's a really reasonable price product, and it is a cave-approved product here. And thank you for spending time with us. Go ahead, Ken.
What about somebody's got to come up with a name? Or
yeah, for what?
For like you had chicken tenders last time?
No, well, unless you want to. Do you want to do it?
Come up
with a couple words. So what we're doing here is we do a little kind of silent contest going on in our podcast, and we want to bring our fans and followers on. We already had a contest with one follower who listened and sent in the two words to us on Instagram. Ken's going to give you the two words. The first person to DM us those two words to our Instagram account, Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave, will get to be a guest just like Ken on Cave Talk. Ken, what are the two words?
Tony Esposito.
Tony Esposito. All right, everybody, that is it from Cave Talk. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you next time from the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave.
We need a sign-off.
Yeah, we need a sign-off.
Yeah.
All right. That.
Bye-bye.
That's our sign-off. Talk to you guys soon.